Our show today, honoring Slayton, Minnesota, marks the 40th hometown that we have visited in this current Northern States Power Company series of Your Hometown Broadcasts. That means that we've traveled a little over 12,000 miles. We've had nearly 50,000 guests at our show since last August. It's been a wonderful season for all of us, and on behalf of our troupe, we certainly are very grateful to Northern States Power. And also, we're very grateful to those of you who have made up our audiences all over the Northwest. We've had some wonderful evenings with you folks, and grateful we are. And, of course, grateful we are, too, to Northern States Power. With us today is Mr. Alan King, who is the Executive Vice President of Northern States Power Company. Mr. King has had 29 years out in the territory himself, and today he has a special message to the folks that he knows best. Those of you in our hometowns. Mr. King?
Cedric, we want not only you, but our friends throughout the area to know that our own Northern States Power Company people have thoroughly enjoyed these hometown socials, and they've enjoyed the opportunity that these socials have provided to meet again and bring together our many neighbors in the hometowns throughout our operating territory. We've also been happy, Cedric, over our radio program on Sunday and the opportunity it affords all of our friends throughout the WCCO operating territory to hear about our good neighbors in these many hometowns. Through this program, we have been able to meet many good, solid citizens of our area in a very informal manner. And we appreciate your part in this, Cedric. You've kept these interviews on such a friendly and hometowny basis that we could meet our friends in a very informal manner. And Cedric, isn't it wonderful how gracious our newspaper editors have been to us in all of these towns?
Well, Alan, we've been traveling for about 7 or 8 years now, and never has our group received the cooperation and the assistance that these smaller community newspapers have given us this year. I certainly want to add my thanks to that, too.
You know, I have been fortunate enough to take in some of these socials, but my heart is with these smaller communities. As you say, I spent 29 years of my life out in various cities of North Dakota, close to the farm, close to the small town, close to the neighbors in, over the afternoon coffee cup and so forth. And that's where my heart is, Cedric.
Well, I'm with you there, of course. I came from a little spot down in the southwestern part of the state, and every week I've had a very delightful renewal of some of the early memories that I've had of childhood in these hometowns. It's been a very delightful experience, and again, I want to say thank you to Northern States Power.
And thank you to you, Cedric.
If it were not for the state lines, this particular southwest section of Minnesota might easily be mistaken for a part of the flat expanse of land included within the boundaries of South Dakota. It's the same high rolling prairie with the same heavy layer of rich black loam over clay subsoil. And like its neighboring state, the agricultural interests in this area have changed from the raising of wheat and oats to the development of a very successful livestock industry. In the last few weeks, we've had the opportunity to talk with cattlemen in both states and to compare their methods of farming. But there, we discover the marked similarity between these two like agricultural regions becomes quite dissimilar. The theories of cattle raising in South Dakota are quite different from those of Pete Schrader, whose farm lies just a few miles outside of Slayton. Pete is an average Minnesota farmer with perhaps a little better than average size farm. And this is what he told us of the type of operation which he's found to be the most profitable. How long has this farm been in your family, Pete?
It's been in our family since 1894.
Were you born here on the farm?
Yes, I was.
How large is it?
It's 320 acres.
Now, what type of beef cattle do you raise?
Well, at the present time, we raise Herefords.
Does your herd support itself?
Yes, it does.
Well, now, why do you prefer to have your own breeding stock rather than buying each year, Pete?
Well, I prefer to have my own breeding stock rather than to buy each year because you don't have so much money involved.
About how many calves do you get from your herd each year, then?
Oh, between 20 and 22.
Do you have any other livestock here on the farm, Pete?
Oh, yes. We have hogs, chickens.
We saw a lot of corn coming up on the way down here. Your planting all done now?
Yes, it is.
It's probably a little too early to tell, but what do you think the outlook for the season is? Does it look pretty good?
Looks very good this year.
This last rain we had was a great help, wasn't it?
Yes.
Did you get much of that down here?
Not too much of it.
What are the problems that a farmer has to face in a dry year as opposed to those of a wet year, Pete?
Well, in a dry year, we don't, as a rule, have enough forage for our cattle. But the grain is usually of better quality.
Well, there's one problem, speaking of problems, that I know has been solved for you farmers out here anyway, and that's electric power. Have you profited very much from having electricity on your farm, Pete?
Oh, yes, we've profited very much from electricity.
What are some of the uses you find for it around your place?
Oh, there's so many of them, I don't know if I can name them all, but we're pumping water, and you use them quite a bit in your shop for your electric welder, your electric grinder, your drills. House, they use them for washing, ironing, cooking.
And you're getting an awful lot of that stuff for just pennies, too, aren't you?
Oh, yes. It's a very cheap power.
Be a pretty tough thing to try to do without it again, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Well, I think that's one thing you'll never have to worry about, Pete, even if the weather does cause you some concern now and then. We certainly hope that this will prove a good year for all of you farmers down here in this fine southwestern section of Minnesota.
The dairy cow gets pretty fancy care since electricity has come to the farm. She has her own drinking cup. She's groomed with a special vacuum cleaner for cows. And now, of all things, she's milked in the parlor. Yes, on many modern farms, lots of them that we've encountered, she's no longer milked in the barn. Instead, she's led into a special milking parlor where she stands on a platform so the farmer doesn't even have to bend over to attach the electric milker. He just walks along, supervising the milking on a regular assembly line basis, while electricity milks the cows, pumps the milk through sterilized pipes directly into the milk cans, and then perhaps into the milk house next door. Well, that's a big new step in labor saving, thanks to the help of cheap electricity. And you know, that's just one of 300 ways electricity is helping fewer farmers produce more with less labor. One of 300 reasons why farmers always call electricity their cheapest hired hand. It's mighty good to know this cheap electricity is now at hand for almost every farm in our area, thanks to teamwork of electric companies like Northern States Power, the municipal systems, and farm electric cooperatives. So help yourself with cheap electric power. More power to you, at low rates, too, from Northern States Power Company.
The colorful excitement of the Golden Gloves boxing tournament invades the Twin Cities each year. There's one resident of Slayton who's almost certain to be among the avid fans right there at the ringside. In fact, on numerous occasions, he's been in the ring himself, acted as second to boxers from his hometown. He is Harry Terry, a dapper, wiry sports enthusiast of the first order, who has long been active in promoting a very outstanding athletic program in Slayton. Better known as Pop Terry, a nickname acquired through his protective interest in his boxing teams. He very stoutly defends amateur fighting as opposed to the professional ring, firmly believes in the advantages of teaching a boy the art of self-defense. His activity in local sports events is strictly extracurricular with Pop Terry, however, because every working day of the week finds him out delivering mail in the rural areas around Slayton. So before we discussed his athletic interests, we asked Pop to tell us something of the trials of a rural mail carrier. How long have you been with the post office, Pop?
33 years.
Has your work always been out on a rural route?
That's right, ever since I came home from the First War.
Well, then you started the job when it was still necessary to use a horse and a buggy to make your deliveries.
That's for sure.
And a sleigh in the wintertime.
That's right.
I can remember those myself. They used to have little kerosene lanterns in them, didn't they?
We had charcoal burners.
Oh, did you? How many miles did you have to cover on that first route of yours?
About 33 miles.
And how many families does that include?
About 130.
Ever been stranded in storms during the winter and had to walk back to town?
That's right. A lot of times. About 3 years ago, my son and I was out, and we got stuck in a snowbank, and I was driving a Model A, and it was so blizzardy we couldn't see, so we couldn't get the car out, so we walked about a half a mile to a farmer's house, and they wanted us to stay all night, but I told the kid, I said, well, let's start for home. It was about 8 miles to town. Well, he says, do you think you can make it, Dad? I said, well, if you can make it, I can make it.
Well, I suppose that athletic activity and that background that you've had in sports probably keeps you in pretty good shape for experiences like that. Have you always been interested in sports, Pops?
Yes, I have, ever since I was a kid.
Well, you were promoting boxing then among the boys here in Slayton long before the real organization of the Golden Gloves, weren't you?
Well, I don't know if I was promoting it, but then we were boxing.
What do you do, hold a district or a regional tournament here?
Well, when we first started out, it was district. And then since Star and Journal and Tribune has changed it over now to a region. We did away with a lot of districts.
How many towns compete in the event here, then?
Well, I wouldn't say. I have a very big territory in our region, and I would say around 45.
You train the boys here yourself, then?
Well, I did it when I first started Golden Gloves here in Slayton, and I did when I was coaching at Worthington.
What age do you recommend that a boy should take up boxing?
Just as quick as you can put a pair of gloves on.
Two, if that's possible,
that's
huh?
That's right.
How old do they have to be before they can participate in the Golden Gloves?
Well, they have to be 16 to compete up in Minneapolis.
Has a team from Slayton ever won the state championship?
Yes, we won it in 45 and 46. We missed out on 2 points in 44.
That's a good record, isn't it, huh? Did you act as second to those boys then up there in the state tournament?
Yes, I did.
What do you say to the kids when they're up there in the ring when you talk to them between rounds?
Well, kids, some of the boys are kind of get a little butterfly in their stomachs, you know, when they first get up there, and especially if it's the first time they went in Minneapolis. And just have to talk to them, quiet them down a little bit, and after they're out there the first round, well, then they're okay.
You got any sons of your own?
Yes, I have two.
How old are they?
Chucky is 19 and Johnny is 16.
Both boxers, I'll bet.
That's right. Chucky won he's been boxing ever since he's about 9 years old. He lost last year in my tournament here at Slayton. He won the tournament here this year in the lightweight division. He went to Minneapolis with me with a team.
Can you take them yet, or can they knock the block off the old man?
Well, I don't put the gloves on with them anymore.
You're smart, huh? I know that the entire town feels that you're accomplishing a great deal for their boys in this area. If there were more people like you, Pop, who would promote these athletic programs for the youth of our country, we probably would see a great reduction in the rates of our juvenile delinquency. Congratulations to you and all the folks in your hometown.
With our salute to Slayton this afternoon, we wind up the current series of Hometown Socials, which we've been taking out every Wednesday evening into the communities all over our Northwest. We'd like you to continue, though, to reserve this half hour of your Sunday afternoon radio listening for a slightly different kind of visit, which Northern States Power Company and I will be bringing to you for the summer months. Beginning next Sunday at 1, we'll be back on the air with a program called Sunday Souvenirs, during which we'll be doing a little reminiscing. We'll be playing two or three tunes from among the favorites that we've let ourselves forget over the years. We'd like very much to have you join us next week, then, for Northern States Power Company's summer series called Sunday Souvenirs. Same time over WCCO.